Welcome, 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 my fellow Charlestonians, citizens of the Lowcountry, those who serve in uniform to protect the red, white, and blue, and those who serve in local uniform, sworn to protect the innocent citizens of the Lowcountry. And then there's me. This is Radio Free Rocky D, the Big Dogger. Blow that birthday candle out on 1250 WTMA. You, my friends, may in fact be politically incorrect. All you got to do is stand up in front of a crowd and tell the truth out loud. When you tell the truth out loud, that makes you politically incorrect as well. And you'll be surrounded immediately by the PC thought police. They're saying, hey, this can't be 70 years old. Obama's only 40-something. This world didn't exist before that, right? I love liberals. It's like shooting pigeons. 1250 WTMA 556-1250 is my number. 843-556-1250. You can also email me at rockyd@wtma.com, or you can instant message me at rockyd1250. I got some all kinds of messages here from people who got who won prizes back then.
It would be
six pack of pop.
Yeah. I remember my sister won something on the radio and it was like the biggest deal.
What'd you win?
I don't remember. Maybe some kind of 45, a record or something.
Yeah. Records were always cool.
Yeah.
You know? Now we give away 70th birthday party tickets, which you can win later on in the show. We're still going to do Amber Ways of Grain, and we still got stupid criminal stories, I believe. So, you know, because those are all on the log here. On the horn with us right now, another one of the so-called original talker yacker news people. Now he's from the College of Charleston, Mike Robertson. Hey, Mike.
Hey, can I tell you a quick story here?
Yeah.
About prizes and things?
Yeah.
I remember I was driving, I think up to Walhalla to cover a trial and listening to an AM station, one of these real small stations, and they were giving away a loaf of bread on the air.
A loaf of bread?
Yeah, I know. I didn't have cell phone, so I couldn't call, but I thought, that's great. I've never heard anybody give away a loaf of bread before. That's when you know you're in good radio signal.
You know what? Sometimes small prizes work, like if you give away certificates for pizza and stuff, but you got to add something else into it.
Well, it could have been whole wheat bread. I don't know.
Whenever I come in with Radio Free Rocky D stuff,
yeah,
okay, like Rocky D evening wear from Blue Moon Grab, people would fight over it in the hallway. We brought a box of hats in, and we're all different colors. Because I said, whatever you got left over, throw it on there. You got one, too. Donna's wearing a Radio Free Rocky T-shirt that says, my baby daddy went to jail, and all I got was his T-shirt. That's my logo on there.
I think it's radio in general, because I know when I was there, you know, people would bring food in.
Yeah.
And nobody even asked where it came from. They just start eating it.
Yeah. We don't do that on my show at all.
No. I thought that was kind of odd. You know, somebody brings in food and, hey, it's free. Let me eat it.
I'm looking at an ad from 1989 with a thinner Dan Moon leaning off to the right over here. Worth Wearing, who says I can call him later on today.
Oh, yeah.
And got Scott Kaysen, who's over at Cheese Channel right now, right?
Yes, he is.
He's still working over there?
I believe so.
And, of course, Dorothy Conflenti, you just heard her. She still sounds like a cutie. And you know what? I'm shocked to see news babes, because all of our radio news people in Chicago, they were ugly.
TMA attracted the beautiful people.
Well, that's just it. You know, and there's, you know, the TV people. And now, of course, you got completely the opposite. And then standing in the back, just a little white head in the background, like, oh, yeah, there's this guy, too.
With
the welcome back Cotter mustache.
Yeah, that was, ooh, gosh.
Mike Robertson. Mm. You still got that Cotter mustache?
No, come on. Actually, that's not around anymore.
So you were there in the beginning, too, right?
Near the beginning. I got there probably about a month before Hugo came. I was in another station across town, and they hired me at TMA. So I was there during all the fun and excitement of Hurricane Hugo, and on the air with Dorothy Conflenti 12, 14, 16 hours a day, talking about dry ice and where to get diapers and things like that. It was an amazing time.
So what were you doing when Hugo was hitting, Dan was on the air? Were you getting out of town, too?
No, they kicked us out, yeah.
They made you go.
Yeah, they made us go. Frankly, nobody thought the station could be around what they were predicting for Hurricane Hugo. So, you know, we were working with a radio station up in Columbia. WVOC is what it is now, but it's, I think, WIS radio or something like that back then. And, you know, we were able to, you know, work with them if need be. But afterwards, Dan said, come on down. So we did and, you know, stayed on the air forever.
Yeah, the thing is that you guys were trying to hightail out of town, and none of you got anywhere. How far did you get?
I've been a South Carolinian, so I know all these little back roads. Mm-hmm. So I was able to avoid the interstate, and it only took me like 6 hours to get to Columbia from here.
I see by the picture here, you guys are in that old building on Orange Grove Road, I can tell.
Oh, gosh, man. That was a dump.
Yeah.
Were you in there?
Well, when they brought me down, it was August of 2001.
Yeah.
And they showed me the building, and I said, take me back. They brought me up here 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
I came up the first time, and they took me to the old station and said, I don't think so. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going in the door of that place because it looks like it's condemned.
It was. but they kept us in there anyway.
So Mike calls up the program, the general manager at the time, and says, he won't even go in. And I said, I'm not working there. I yelled that. I can go back to Tampa. Take me to the airport. So Steve says, take him to where the new building is being built. And they took me by here. It wasn't done. We looked in. Actually, this window right here. Huh. We looked in this window right here. We couldn't get in. I said, that looks nice. Mm. And I got to help decide where some of the stuff was, or at least they let me think so at the time.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
So they were actually going to take this table down. They put it up against the window.
The old station was right there on the marsh, too, and that was another reason they told us to go ahead and leave, because they figured it was going to be flooded.
Oh, yeah. God was taking that land back. He said, radio station? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, right now, where the old tower is underwater. The thing is on a platform over the water, is it?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I mean, under about 3 feet of water is there now, but you used to be able to walk out to it.
Oh, it was amazing, too, was every once in a while you'd do a newscast, look down on the floor, and see a fiddler crab walking around. That's when you know you're near the water.
Well, I haven't been able to get a hold of Kim Baby. And for those who remember Kim Baby, she was Donna before Donna got
her. Yes,
yes. And Kim Baby was on the air. I mean, she took off to Florence. But I went to their radio station website, Donna, and it's down. It's gone. Like, this site for sale. I'm like, uh-oh. Now what? I don't know what's going on. So we're trying to get a hold of her. I can't find her relatives in town. So members of the Basso family, call me now. 556-1250. I want to find out what's happening to Kim, because she came by here one time, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not. I still get along with her. I mean, we used to go to, I still talk to her once in a while. It's just that I can't find her number anywhere.
What station was it? Do you remember?
She worked up at the Eagle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kim Baby was, they called her Maddie.
Oh.
I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. But I said, no, go with it. And when she first went up there, she called back. And I think she was crying. She calls up and she says, hey, there's a little tiny icky studio. I said, welcome to small time radio. That's usually what it looks like. Y'all got spoiled over here in Faber Place. This is not what most smaller radio stations in other markets look like. But then again, we got on it. They got in here at the time when media market talk shows and talk stations were becoming more and more important. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the word got out. You know what I mean? Like what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it was fun back then, because you could do things, and that was a time before we really had consultants and everything like that. And I don't need to tell you about consultants, I guess.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this much, Mike. What are the first three letters in the word consultant?
Con.
There you go.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that was that they did hire a consultant later on, and Dan Moon fought it. And Moon won. Because they were trying to change the way he was doing a show, and it was ridiculous. This was a person who came down from Chicago who had never really listened to the station and wanted to make some changes, and Dan Moon fought it, and he fought it for all of us, and it was the first and only time I've seen somebody beat a consultant, and it worked, because what he was doing on the air was perfect, was what needed to be done.
Yeah.
They want to make some changes. You know how that is, so.
Yeah, it's just, I was telling Dan, and I said, what, talk radio is the new top 40.
Oh, yeah.
We grew up at Top 40, you and I, Donna. Grew up at Top 40, and it was fun. It was local. I mean, it was a time when music stations played different music around different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's homogenized.
Yeah.
It's the same bland, flavorless soda water everywhere you go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the only thing I listen to now is talk radio, because that's the only thing where you hear something different. And, that's bad, because I remember when I was growing up, I really wanted to be in radio, and I used to listen to the AM radio stations, LS in Chicago, and WWL, and
WMAQ in Chicago?
Of course,
worked there! I did for a short time.
Yeah, those were wonderful stations, because you could hear things that you wouldn't hear down here in Charleston or Columbia or anywhere else, and I think that's what made not only the station, but the markets in radio so magical, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that the station lasts that long anyway, because stations in down here, I don't know, there should be older stations. There's one older, isn't there, Don? There's one more, one older station than we are here. I don't know what it is.
With the same call letters?
No, but it has changed call letters since, I believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, because, as you know, WMAQ in Chicago went on air like in 1921.
Yeah.
You know, and from, because, you know, bigger city and all that stuff even at the time. And I was amazed to go work in the Merchandise Mart building in Chicago, which was built, when they first built it, that's when they put in a radio station.
Well, NBC owned it, right?
NBC owned us, right. Yeah. We you know, we worked under Fred Silverman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the peacock's dead, so thank you, Fred. Yeah, thanks a whole lot. We were on the 19th floor. The FM, long-haired maggots, of which I eventually became one, were on the 17th floor, all in the Merchandise Mart with a 200-yard walk inside of a building. That's how big this thing is.
Wow.
The building is so big, we used to play football on the roof.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. There you go.
And every once in a while, a ball would fly over, a cop would come up holding a softball or whatever it is in the hand, like, And then on the 20th floor, up a walkway, was where Silverman's offices were and all that stuff. And women used to go up there and never come down. I think they ate them. But anyway, down here, this stuff was happening too. You had old stations and little old buildings all around the nation, and you still get them here and there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So while you were in the building on Orange Grove Road, did pieces of the ceiling fall off on you?
No, but I remember there was a dead rat in the ceiling one day.
Yay.
And they could not find it. And so, like, for 2 or 3 days, I mean, the stench got unbelievable. And it was right over the studio. And so, you know, you couldn't avoid it. You had to go. Back then, I was doing a two-hour newscast in the afternoons.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was brutal because, you know, during breaks, you'd had to run outside to try to grab some air, and then run back in there and finish your newscast. It was fun radio. Let's put it that way.
I was only in that building for about 4 weeks, and we moved over here.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And yeah, definitely. And then when we moved over here, I thought, yeah, this is what I'm more used to, because this is like the station I came from in Tampa.
Well, you got those are great facilities you have right now.
Yeah, these are. I mean, people don't realize, these young people who come in here, or even guests that come in here, they don't realize how nice this is compared to what it used to be. A few years ago, this is better than the studio I had in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
These are great digs.
Yeah.
They really are.
This is Donna. I had a friend come by and visit me one day who started out with me at another station, I think owned by Dudley way back in the day, maybe late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my God. I remember when you and I worked together on radio, we were like in a dumpy trailer in the mud.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
Well, and we had a pretty decent-sized news staff. I think about 6 or 7 people in our news department. And I remember, you know, Dan used to do his talk show every once in a while in the studio itself, right across from, you know, where Donna would sit. And we'd have to snake our way around him to get ready for a newscast. And, you know, it's just... there was no room whatsoever, and it just...
Yep,
no,
Dan never did want his own room.
No.
He never broadcast from inside this room here.
No, he didn't.
Except when I had him here as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
He always sat right there next to you, Donnie. He sat right over there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. I didn't know that.
He was always in there with Madeline. I should find Madeline, too, and talk to her.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of hard to find people who are recent from like 10 years or less in radio, 10 years ago or less, because they're all disgruntled. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm gruntled then, right?
Yeah, because most people leave radio like, I got to get the hell out of here. And you're one of those people, man. You're not working at the College of Charleston, man.
Yeah.
Can you give me a job out there where I can sit and look at chicks that are half-dressed all day? What's with your students there, man? Don't they have any clothes? Not that I'm complaining.
They're fine students. They're fine students.
Try happy hour. There you go. Hey, wait a minute. Famous artist Tommy Johnston. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Rock, you mentioned when you were talking to Dan Moon about Winchester Cathedral. You ought to tell your audience about that. Man, that is an interesting story.
I don't know the story.
Oh, you don't? Well, it's a house that the woman who was the heir to the
No, you heard me mention the Winchester house. She's nuts, you know. She put stairways up to nowhere.
Imagine all kinds of weird things, and she was inviting the ghosts from the dead Indians and American soldiers that were killed by Winchester rifles to come and stay there at night.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
She figured that if you keep building a house, the ghosts can't get you. Now, where that rule came from, I don't know.
That was really weird. By the way, Rock, do you know how O'Hare International Airport got his name?
From a World War II hero, right?
It was a son of Artful Eddie, the lawyer who represented the Al Capone gang. He wanted him to go to Annapolis, so he ratted out Al Capone and his dog racing syndicate, National Dog Racing Syndicate. He got killed, but his son got to go to Annapolis. He became a lieutenant commander, shot down a bunch of
airplanes. He was shot down in World War II, right?
He was the first Navy ace, and he was also a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
There you go. Thanks, Wendt. Thanks, Tommy.
Talk to you later.
By the way, that old place we used to work in, Mike.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the Winchester House. That thing was so weird. It had little hallways, and everything was crooked, Donna.
Yeah.
Everything was crooked. I was on the air one time, and I think I had been there about 3 days, and I'm thinking, you know, a couple things happened. You know, first of all, the first day I was there, all of a sudden the floor began to rumble, and I was like, what the hell is that, bad pipes? When do we move out of here, Donna? Kim goes, no, that's just raccoons mating under the floorboards. I'm like, nice. And then, like, later that week, a big, huge piece of the ceiling came down and almost whacked Kim in the head.
Really?
Yeah. And now this is in 2001. And, well, the reason was we were leaving the building, so why repair it?
Of course.
So for the next week, we were gone a week later, I think. And so there was a big hole in the roof up there. Mm. And it just stayed up there.
Wow.
You know, spiders and things up there. And everyone's
all big.
Everyone's all, wow. I remember one time a big old banana spider come flying down on the street. And it was like, it was the size of my hand. And it was just like right in the window between me and Kim.
Good times.
Okay, hang on. We're going to blow format. Hey, here he is. The only guy's partly louder than me. Fred Story. Fred.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Man, I just I heard you on the radio, and I thought, and I heard Rocky say, well, there's not any 10-year radio veterans around here. They're all disgruntled, except for me.
Yeah, you were here before I got here. You're still here.
I worked with Mike.
Wow.
Mike was my news director.
Cool.
And I just got to thinking, by boy, I guess the most important thing of that time in my thought process going back 10 years was, what I've been hearing y'all talk about is why I had to call in, was the stench of working in that old studio.
It smelled like black mold and dead bodies.
Well, Mike remembers there was a possum or a rat or something got up there, and it was dead for 3 or 4 days, and we couldn't do our job.
Yeah.
Fred, have you been down to Orange Grove Road and seen the old building lately? It's completely gone. Yeah. It melted.
It's completely gone.
They didn't knock it down. It fell down. Did you know that?
I didn't realize that. I know that they've still got the old TMA transmitter down there. But back in those days, when I was working in the news department, Mike was the news director, and we had 5 or 6 people in the news department, like Mike was saying. Totally different than the way it is now.
Yeah, everything's MP3. Hey, I'm up against time, you guys. You can stay on the line.
For a couple more minutes, and then I got to run. You know how it is.
All right. Hey, Fred, hang on.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Don't miss 3 more hours of stimulating talk right here, The Sean Hannity Show, today at 3 on 1250 WTMA.
Now, we return to Radio Free Rocky D on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
It's my birthday. It's all about me. It's our birthday. It's all about me. On the horn with us, Mike Robertson, former newsman over at WTMA, and then Fred Story. You guys got 1:08. Be amazingly entertaining. Go.
I will be amazingly entertained by reminding Mike of the technical trap we were in back then. We were still on tape, and we fought with old equipment and an old telephone connection and old reel-to-reel to try to get the news on the air. And today, it's so simple compared to those days.
I know. I hate that. but I know how to splice tape if I have to.
Yeah, now we've got high-tech equipment, Mike, and here's what I do with it. Stuff like that. Now, we got everything. Everything is on computer now. For those who don't even know, do we even have turntables here anymore? I don't even think we do. I think there's one product.
We have no cart machines or reel-to-reels
or carts.
Wow.
No cart machines, because I was still using them in Tampa in an old studio, but we were already on digital before I got here. So, mm-hmm. All right, Fred, see you.
See ya.
Ah, there you go. Hey, Mike, thanks for being on the show, man.
Rocky, these 70 years, all we have been is placeholders for you.
Now you understand.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
See ya, man.
Okay, bye.
See, he gets it. Placeholders for you. smart ass.
really? Do you think he might have been mocking you?
You know. Hey, wait a minute. You know what, Donna?
What?
I wanted to call some of our recent people. I'd like to get my whole crew to get when I first got here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but everyone except you and me is disgruntled. At this point, you don't want them on the air at all, man.
Celebrating our 70th birthday in 2009. This is the Big Talker. WTF.